They are true white garment. The first white garment obtained through the water baptism by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that was totally free by the grace of God. And the second white garment in the book of Revelation, I think chapter 19, right? You talk about the wedding banquet. And the bride had to put on the white garment. And that white garment represents what? The righteous deeds of the saint. So when we talk about justification of faith in Romans chapter 4 and chapter 5, we are talking about the first white garment we obtain freely by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just like what? Very similar, but not exactly the same, right? You try to apply the college, but no matter how hard we try to apply it, right? But we still cannot reach to the requirement of that college. So we cannot get admission, right? We cannot go in. And later on, the school just accept you. So you can go there to study that school. We know that we cannot reach that standard, but when the school accept us, we can study that school, and we know the school give us a grace. So our behavior can never reach to the standard of God, because God is totally justice. And the kingdom of God has no sin. So how can we reach to that? We cannot achieve that goal. But through believing Jesus, we are justified. We obtain a white garment. We establish a relationship with God. Then, after we go into a college, that doesn't mean you are guaranteed to graduate. Right? We still have to study. The more difficult college, more high standard college, more difficult to graduate. The same thing. The graduation ceremony is the time we finish our life. So funeral is a graduation ceremony, right? So if we have a white garment, then we can go to the paradise. And the second white garment, the white garment to attend the banquet is our personal behavior. That's called through sanctification by the Holy Spirit. So chapter 5, we are going to talk about water baptism. This is the first white garment. It's totally free. And when we read to chapter 7, we are talking about sanctification by the Holy Spirit. And that should put, we should have put effort into it. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, we root out the sinful nature. So gradually, we don't commit sin. So we have a white garment. So chapter 5, that kind of white garment, is the grace of God. And chapter 7, sanctification, through the help of Holy Spirit, we get rid of sinful nature, we are sanctified. Chapter 5 talk about the sin we already committed or totally forgiven. And chapter 7 talk about how about the sinful nature which caused us to sin. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to root out the sinful nature. So there's a difference. So when the there's a religious reformation, right? Martin Luther. And he trashed the book of James. He considered James has no value, because James represents the righteousness of deeds. but actually it's no contradiction. The Roman chapter 5, that 4 or 5, that justification, and that white garment, and the book of James, that white garment, is different, but it related. The Roman chapter 4 is the grace of God. The book of James, that our own effort through the help of the Holy Spirit. So both are required. Now we come back to the teaching material. The example of justification by faith is Abraham. So we read chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him as righteousness. Okay. Now we look into the account of Genesis. Genesis chapter, which chapter? Okay, chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Verse 4. And behold, the words of the Lord come to him, say, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. What does that mean? Because in the age of 75, God promised Abraham a son, right? And out of the son will multiply to be a nation. And they are going to occupy a land filled with honey and milk. They promised them a piece of land. So Abraham, wait until 86, 11 years, right? Most of you are not married, right? After you marry, if you want to have a child, already 11 years, no child, what are you going to do? Do you still believe, pray, right? So Abraham, the faith become weakened. He had a child through his own servant, Haggai. And that child called Ishmael, right? He's become the forefather of right now the Arabian, right? And then God was not a priest. From 75 to 86, God appeared to Abraham many times. God and Abraham just like a friend. But 86, Abraham used his own idea, used his own way to have a son. That is different from God wanting him to have a son. So from 86 until 99, 13 years, God never appeared to him even once. Not even once. Because what he had done, God did not like it. And when he reached to the age of 99, and then God appeared to him again. Genesis, right? God told Abraham, right? This one shall not be your heir, which means the one who come from Haggai. But the one who will come from your own body, means your original wife, Sarah, that will be your heir. And then verse 5, then he brought him out and said, look now towards the heaven and count the star, if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendant be. When the God says, so shall your descendant, that descendant from the wife, Sarah. But at that time, the Sarah have no child yet. And then verse 7. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldeans and give you this land to inherit. So I will give you the land to inherit. And he said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit the land? Verse 9. Chapter 15, verse 9. So he said to them, bring me a 3 years heir. Okay, then now we go into verse 10. Then he brought all those to him and cut them into half and placed each piece of, okay, then verse 11. And when, chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he accounted him for righteousness. Okay. So the book of Romans actually quotes the Genesis. God told him, all your descendants will multiply. He believed in the Lord. And then this counts his own righteousness. Now, we come back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now him who works, the wages are not count as a grace, but as a debt. If you work for a company, and the company owe you the wages, right? So at the year end, the company obligate to give you your salary. However, verse 5, but to him who does not work, and believe on him who justified the ungodly, and his faith accounted as righteousness. No. So if a person don't work and the person receive the salary, and that considered grace, right? In a company, 1 month you sick, you don't work, and the company give you pay, and that considered a grace. So if a person have good behavior, so God consider him as a righteous. It's not the grace because I have a good behavior. I follow exactly the law of God. So I earn it. I earn my own righteousness. It's not a grace. But if I break the law all the times and God still consider me as a righteous because I believe him, and then it's the grace. We are sinner, but I believe in Jesus and Jesus consider me righteous. Then it is a grace. So grace is considered the blessing of God. Also verse 6, Romans chapter 4, verse 6, just as David, who describes the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from the work. You see, God imputes righteousness apart from the work. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. All the deeds breaking the law are forgiven. And those sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the law shall not impute sin. Right? God cover our sin, forgive our sin, and give us righteousness are considered a blessing. So the most important blessing of God, right? When we have a testimony section, a lot of members, they just share the grace of God they receive, right? Car accidents and never injured, and very grave sickness and recovered through prayer, or you have difficult study and God guide you through the study, and or we cannot find a job, God give us a good job. Yes, all of these are the blessing of God, or the grace of God. But the most important blessing of God is justification by faith. Because I believe in Jesus Christ, so Jesus covered my sin, put a white garment on me. That is the greatest blessing. That is the greatest grace. Why? Because through the justification of faith, then our relationship with God being reestablished. Originally, we are sinner, but go through the blood of Jesus Christ, justified by our faith, by Jesus through our faith, then we receive the Holy Spirit as a proof that we become the children of God. This is the greatest grace. How? Now we look into the next one. We look into page A2, number 2A, example, Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith, though that was considered grace. And after he was justified by grace, and God asked him and his descendant to have circumcision. So circumcision is to confirm that God justified him. So circumcision comes later. Also verse 11, chapter 4, verse 7. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith. So circumcision, the seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. So Jesus, Abraham becomes the father. The first one, for those who believe, he is a father in faith. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Right now, we are not Jews, so we are uncircumcised. But the righteousness of God will impute it to us also. You believe in Jesus, receive baptism, you will become righteous. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only are the circumcised, but who also walk in the step of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So this is use the Abraham example to tell us justification by faith come in the time of Genesis. But right now, through Jesus Christ, it will be available for the Gentile like we do. Now, since Abraham chosen by God to inherit that piece of land, now, what are we going to do with that kind of promise? If Abraham was justified by faith, and we are the justified by faith too, right? Then Abraham received that piece of land. How about that piece of land? Do we have that that share of that piece of land? And verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So through the righteousness of faith, we will become the heir to inherit the world God promised to Abraham. Verse 14, for if those who are the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made no effect, because the law bring about wrath. But where there is no law, there is no wrath. Verse 16. Therefore, it is faith that might be according to the grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham. So what is this talking about? That piece of land filled with honey and milk, there are two meanings. The first meaning is physically, there was a piece of land there. It is a Canaan right now. So that physical land being promised to Abraham and his descendant. So right now, the physical descendant, the Jews, they inherit Canaan. But when Abraham was in Canaan, according to Hebrew chapter 11, his heart already looking for a kingdom far better than the physical piece of land. And that piece of land in heaven actually is for you and me. So today, we are hoping for the spiritual land promised to Abraham. Right now, we are available through the faith. Okay, now chapter 4, verse 16. So let us think about a question. Any one of you, do you think you are rich? Raise your hand. You can be rich, right? If your parents are very rich. It's just keep on waiting. One day you'll be rich. Once your parents pass away, all your parents become yours, right? Because you are the heirs of your parents. But, everybody, you are all very rich, right? Why? Because you have a Father in heaven. And through justification of faith, you become the children, right? So your Father in heaven, very rich. He has a piece of land in heaven, far better than the piece of land in the world. So anyone who saw the vision, they go to the heaven, most of them don't want to come back. Right? Why? It's so good. Compared with the heaven, all the world become garbage. It's not because the world has no value. It's because the value in heaven is so surpassing so much from the piece of land in the world. So spiritually, everybody of us, we are very rich. We are going to inherit that piece of land by faith through the justification by faith. Even before we inherit that piece of land, when Jesus preached the gospel, what is the first message of Jesus Christ? The first message of Jesus Christ, what was that? Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? The kingdom of heaven, the place where we are going after we die, at hand means Jesus will bring it to the world. Also, some people say, ask Jesus, where is your kingdom? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your heart. So that spiritual land, the kingdom of God right now will fulfill in our heart. So if the kingdom of God fulfill in our heart, according to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, what is going to happen? Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God fulfill has three things will happen. What's that? Righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit. If God fulfilled, our heart been fulfilled by God, first, everything is right, and which is righteousness, means sin cannot control us. All the sinful desire will be gone. The second, since we have righteousness, then God will abide in us. When God abides in us, we have no fear, we have no worry, and that is peace. No fear and no worry, and that is peace. Because the Father, Almighty God, abide in us. And then, When God abides in us through Holy Spirit, we will be totally fulfilled. We are so content, so satisfied, and that is joy. So can you imagine? Can you imagine? A person who had no sin inside, who has the peace, no fear, no joy, and who has contentment, spiritual contentment, fulfillment in the Holy Spirit. And what kind of life there will be? That kind of life will be what? 在地如天, you live in the world like in heaven. So everybody of us, justification by faith, we are going to inherit a piece of land, not a physical piece of land. First, when we die, we will inherit the land in heaven. The second, before we die, the kingdom of God will fulfill in our heart. All right? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So we are going to live a life in abundance, not material abundance, but our heart will be totally fulfilled. And that is priceless. So when we talk about Romans chapter 4, justification of faith by Abraham, in order to inherit that piece of land, what does that mean to us today? So, you know, a lot of people, probably not you, your parents or your grandparents' generation, a lot of them worship idol if they come from Oriental, right? Your grandparents in that generation. A lot of people worship idol because of what? Two reasons. Right? What are the two reasons? Prosperity and peace. Most Oriental, they worship idol, 发财保平安, prosperity and peace. So after they worship idol for a period of time, they don't make money, they have no peace, then what are they going to do? They dump the idol into the riverside, into the ocean, right? And somebody passing by there, oh, there's an idol, nobody want it, and pick it up, wash it clean, and put back into the living room and start to worship, right? And now we come to the church, we worship the only one true God, really, only one true God. But still, some of the people, their mentality, I believe in Jesus because of prosperity and peace. And so-called peace is physical peace. And so-called prosperity is making money. Yes, after we believe in Jesus, Jesus Christ will take care of our life. Look into the birds who feed them. God feed them. We are more precious. God will feed us. Look into the lady in the wilderness who adorned them. It is God. So God will take care of us. No problem about this, right? The more important precious blessing, God is going to give us a piece of land in your heart, which is the kingdom of God. So you will not be controlled by sinful nature, sinful desire. We are going to have quietness, tranquility, no fear, no worry, that kind of feeling, abundance of God. They call peace, right? And joy. And that's priceless. So we read chapter 4 of Romans, justification to inherit that piece of land. What does that mean to us today? Now we look into verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17 to 22. 17 to 22, you look into teaching material. Abraham believed in God. Now, we'll come back to chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and the God who calls some those things which do not exist as though they did. The God who makes something out of nothing, the God who makes the dead resurrected. It is a God worshipped by Abraham. It is a God worshipped by us today. So these two are very important. What kind of God we worship? He make the dead become alive. So give life to the dead is something impossible to become possible. The dead can come to life. It's no human being can do it. But not Abraham. Jesus went to Nazareth's house, right? Nazareth already died for how many days? 4 days, right? Can you imagine a person die 4 days? What is going to happen? A lot of bad smell is going to come out, right? So when Jesus asked people to open the tomb, people said, oh, no. His body are rotten, right? They don't want to do it. But Jesus called the name of Nazareth, and Nazareth come out and resurrected. Something impossible become possible. And that not only happened 2,000 years ago, that happened right now. You know, I don't know whether you have seen the Pastor Wooty. When he was a TTP student, he was sent to Ghana. And he brought with him about a camcorder. And recorded 4 members of Ghana, in Ghana, resurrected from death. Now, in Africa, 4 people resurrected from death. I still recall... there was our gospel preached to a village. That was a newly developed area. In one of the spiritual convocation, while they are holding the Holy Communion, all of a sudden, a member rushed back, say there was a sister, newly baptized sister, now passed away at her home. Now, so that worker or that full-time worker say, we just newly established a church in this village, and we proclaim God abide in our church, and God is so powerful. Now, during the spiritual convocation, there was a sister die. Then how can we expand the ministry in this village? So after the Holy Communion, the whole church just walking to that sister's house. And since the sister already passed away, they put the sister on the ground and covered by white sheet, and waiting for the taxi. They have no other car, use a taxi, try to transport the body into the hospital, because hospital has some kind of special equipment, like an icebox, and ready for burial. Also, when the pastor went there, and he asked all the people to go out, because a lot of relatives are not members. So he and the church council member and some of the church members just kneel down and pray. So all the villagers are surrounding the house. And even a lot of villagers say, if this person can be resurrected, we all village want to convert to TJC. Right? So the pastor did pray so hard, pray about 30 minutes or 1 hour, I cannot recall. You know, in Africa, their roof is made of zinc, the metal roof. When the big sun come out under the roof, it's just under the oven, right? Very hot, very hot. Even you stand there, you start to perspire the whole body. Then they pray about 30 minutes, 1 hour, the whole body perspired, wet. And then the pastor called the name of the deceased sister. And after he called the name of the sister, and gradually the sister regained the breath. And I asked the pastor, how come? How come you dare to call the name of the sister? If the name of if that sister not respond, then what is going to happen? You say, after you pray for a certain time, God will Holy Spirit will move you. So it was not him who called the name. It is the Holy Spirit. Move him to call the name of the sister. And then resurrected. Wow, everybody was so joyful, but the end is nobody believe. right? The dead resurrected, but still that village, nobody believe. So the dead resurrected is so many examples in our church. And how come? How come in the United States, there's no example dead resurrected? Why? Do you know why? How about Canada? Probably Canada has some dead resurrected. No. Because God has no change, right? What is change? Medical equipment. It's so advanced. So when we're sick, we start to think about which hospital we are sending to, right? If United States, just like Africa, I believe a lot of people are going to pray very hard and miracle and wonder signs will happen. Like China, right now, a lot of miracle wonder signs happen, right? Because people have a very simple faith. So the God we worship is the one who makes the dead resurrected. It's something impossible to become possible. That's not in the time of Abraham. That's not in the time only. That's not in the time of Jesus Christ. That even in the time of TJC nowadays. And made something out of nothing. You know, in the lunchtime, we are going to eat what? A lot of food, right? All the food are cooking through something they purchase in the market, right? So human being will make something out of another things. Well, human being, we cannot make something out of nothing. So this is the God we worship. In verse 19, chapter 6, verse 19, and noting the weak in faith, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he had promised, he also able to perform. And then, therefore, it was account for him as righteousness. So the second time, Abraham become righteousness when he was 100 years old, right? At that time, the body, like a dead body. Have you seen a 100 years old become a father? Or almost 100 years woman all of a sudden conceive a baby? You never seen that, right? But when Abraham was 100 years old, he firmly believed whatever promised by God will be fulfilled. And that is called faith. And this kind of faith, in the eyes of God, account him as a righteousness. Justification by faith to gain the righteousness is not something new. It's in the time of Abraham, it's happened already. That it will happen to us nowadays. Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. 24. But also for us, it shall be imputed us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from dead. 25. He was delivered up because of our offense and was raised because of our justification. Chapter 4 uses Abraham's example to tell us justification by faith is true. Abraham, 100 years old, believe in Jesus, believe in God's promise, and then give birth a son. Because God wants his descendant to multiply to inherit that piece of land. So tomorrow we start to go into chapter 5. And chapter 5, we are going to see the result of justification by faith. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Now, let's all kneel down and pray to conclude our morning section. Let's pray.